The Art of Travel, written by Alain de Botton and read by Nicholas Bell. It was hard to say when exactly winter arrived. The decline was gradual, like that of a person into old age, inconspicuous from day to day, until the season became an established, relentless reality. First came a dip in evening temperatures, then days of continuous rain, confused gusts of Atlantic wind, dampness, the fall of leaves and the changing of the clocks, though there were still occasional moments of reprieve. Mornings when one could leave the house without a coat, and the sky was cloudless and bright. But they were like false signs of recovery in a patient upon whom death has passed its sentence. By December, the new season was entrenched, and the city was covered almost every day by an ominous steely grey sky, like one in a painting by Mantegna or Veronese, the perfect backdrop to the crucifixion of Christ or to a day beneath the bedclothes. The neighbourhood park became a desolate spread of mud and water, lit up at night by rain-streaked lamps. Passing it one evening during a downpour, I recalled how, in the intense heat of the previous summer, I had stretched out on the ground and let my bare feet slip from my shoes to caress the grass, and how this direct contact with the earth had brought with it a sense of freedom and expansiveness. Summer breaking down the usual boundaries between indoors and out, and allowing me to feel as much at home in the world as in my own bedroom. But now the park was foreign once more, the grass a forbidding arena in the incessant rain. Any sadness I might have felt, any suspicion that happiness or understanding was unattainable, seemed to find ready encouragement in the sodden dark red brick buildings and low skies tinged orange by the city's streetlights. Such climatic circumstances, together with a sequence of events that occurred at around this time, and seemed to confirm Chamfort's dictum that a man must swallow a toad every morning to be sure of not meeting with anything more revolting in the day ahead, conspired to render me intensely susceptible to the unsolicited arrival one late afternoon of a large, brightly illustrated brochure entitled Winter Sun. Its cover displayed a row of palm trees, many of them growing at an angle on a sandy beach fringed by a turquoise sea set against a backdrop of hills, where I imagined there to be waterfalls and relief from the heat in the shade of sweet-smelling fruit trees. The photographs reminded me of the paintings of Tahiti that William Hodges had brought back from his journey with Captain Cook, showing a tropical lagoon in soft evening light, where smiling local girls cavorted carefree and barefoot through luxuriant foliage, images that had provoked wonder and longing when Hodges first exhibited them at the Royal Academy in London in the sharp winter of 1776, and that continued to provide a model for subsequent depictions of tropical idylls, including the pages of Winter Sun.